The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
To another Friday, which means weekend, and war, peace, bribery, theft, blackmail, pedophilia, Pizzagate. Who knows what's going to pop up next? It is really a deluge of madness. Chaos everywhere, amateurism, bizarre treachery, treason, betrayal, duplicity. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how to describe this country anymore. And I'm sure that many people overseas, I hate to even think about Europe, but those who are still in Europe with a brain and can think must look at this country and just scratch their heads. I know Kim in Pyongyang, or whatever underground, deep underground bunker he's at, is wondering just how insane this country is going to get. The USS Ronald Reagan and its task force support fleet, whatever it is headed also to the Korean area now, we are told. So that'll be the Vinson, the Reagan. The Nimitz is also available to be sent there. I don't know what's happening. When you look at South Korea and President Moon and what he's been saying, he wants peace. He wants to reunify both Koreas on the Korean Peninsula. He doesn't want war. In fact, he told the U.S. to point its THAAD anti-missile defense system away from China. I don't think he needed much prodding to do that. It's kind of common sense. So we're not hearing anything. That's my point. North Korea is out of the news. You notice how these things are controlled by the mainstream media. They'll turn a tap on here, turn another tap off there. They feed the masses what they want. They keep us turning and twisting and scratching our heads wondering what's going on. I've never seen anything like it. It's quite a show. Time to spend a little time with Harry Cooper tonight. We get to do this once a month. It's always fun. He is such an incredible mind, so well-traveled, and his perspective on things goes back to the time when it really was the last chance. And that was World War II. And I won't say any more than that. Those are my feelings. And that's the way it is. Harry, welcome back.
Don't interrupt me. I'm looking at your website.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm looking at the thing you have there on moving to Argentina. And boy, that's right on the button. Argentina is a beautiful country, and your Yankee dollar goes a long way.
Yeah, it sure does. That's You see, as you well know, and as you pointed out on this program so many times, Argentina hasn't been a secret for forever. I mean, the people knew about how wonderful that place was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've been planning to actually migrate there in an emergency if they had to, and they still are. Many, many rich American elite, Ted Turner, for example, I think he owns 500,000 acres in the Patagonia, something
I've,
like
I've
that.
I've heard that. I don't know. I haven't checked that out, but I've heard it.
Yeah, and he supposedly has given pieces to many of his Hollywood friends and his movers and shakers, and they're all kind of on standby. They'll go when they need to. And we know what the Bushes did in, was it Uruguay?
Well, I think it was Uruguay. I heard it was Paraguay, but that's only, you know, just
whatever.
What I've heard. I don't know for a fact.
They bought the land, and I think it was Paraguay.
Yeah, they got a lot of fresh water there, I'm told.
They're sitting on top of the biggest freshwater aquifer that is known in that area of South America. So, yeah. People are kind of getting ready.
Yeah, Argentina. Uruguay is another really nice place. Good people, friendly people. Your Yankee dollar is powerful there.
Yeah.
Brazil is nice, but... your dollar doesn't carry quite the clout there. Plus, I'm still trying to get my visa to go back to Brazil. I got 13 pages of documents to fill out.
You haven't gotten that yet?
No, and I wish I could blame somebody else. It's just because I haven't done it yet, but tomorrow I'm going to be sending it off. You have to send the paperwork by email, and when you show up, you have to have the paperwork hard copy in your hand. So I'm wondering why send it by email and by hard copy, but that's what they want.
That's so people can steal it and know what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess. You don't need a visa for Uruguay or for Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you really don't. You can just travel down there.
Right.
With a passport, and that's
citizen.
It.
I don't know about other countries, but
now, are you talking,
citizens.
Are we talking passport or visa?
Passport, you got to have a passport.
Yeah.
You can't go to the bathroom without a passport nowadays. Literally, you can't go to the Bahamas or to Canada or to Mexico, I think. I think you got to have a passport, I think.
So you can't go to, they might as well call it a pissport then.
Whatever you say. To go to any of the other countries, you got to have a passport. But like I say, no visa is necessary, and Argentina has just stopped what they call that reciprocity. Used to be you had to pay up front because the U.S. charges Argentine citizens to come here. And so, you know, it's kind of a tit-for-tat thing, but used to be, when I got mine, it was in 2009, I believe it was. It was $20 that you had to pay, and it was good for 10 years. Then I understand it went up to $120, good for 10 years. But a couple of years ago, they just did away with it. So you just got to have a passport. That's it. You just show up, and there you go.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
And when are you going again? Not that I want to get
July.
I don't want to get rid of you or anything. Don't get it.
No, middle July, and there's a lot of things I have to look at that we're finding more and more information. Some I can talk about, some I can't, till after I get there and do what I need to do and come back.
Pretty furtive to me.
Okay, I'll agree. But there's so much down there.
I know what Harry's talking about. This man is so well connected. If there's anyone on the planet, quite seriously, who is more able to immerse himself with knowledge and wisdom into World War II and what has happened since the war than Harry Cooper, I can't even imagine who that would be. I don't know. He's a very unique presence. You are, sir.
Thank you. I've got a lot of friends. I've developed quite a network. That's what sets our research apart from everybody else. So many people, there's some knucklehead just recently wrote a book called Amelia Earhart, The True Story or True History, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me a copy of his book. I gave him a copy of my book, Hitler in Argentina. But because I wouldn't give him free advertising on our website, boy, he come back with all sorts of nasty comments, and one of them was that I don't have a bibliography in my book. Okay, book has like about 5 pages of bibliography, which is just the legal requirements to copy somebody else's book.
It's called plagiarism, I think.
Well, if you put it into bibliography, then it's
accepted. That's right.
And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but there's no bibliography in my books because I don't take stuff from other books. I don't do my
no citations
in the library.
It's all fresh. It's all new. Mm-hmm. It's all you.
Boots on the ground.
That's right. That's right.
I was just going over the videotape I did with this very nice old lady down there. I told you about that, where she her brother worked on the estancia that was owned by Fritz Mandl, the Austrian arms merchant. And I asked her if I could film it, and she said, sure, fine. So I filmed it with my laptop, but then I just realized a couple of days ago, I've got this little ballpoint pen, too, that if you push the button the right way, it's filming. So I got to download that off my ballpoint pen.
Ah, that's funny. That's good.
Well,
good for you.
I've tried to follow in what James Bond would do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be going down there again, and when I go, of course, I'll be visiting with Lawrence DeMello, who I talked to her on the phone 2 days ago, and we got the name Martin Bormann came up. And she says,
how odd.
Yeah, how odd. And she says, well, Harry, I think I know more about Martin Bormann than you do. And I said, Lawrence, you know more about Martin Bormann than anybody else in the world. She is the world expert, in my opinion, on Martin Bormann.
What was it about Bormann that got her so intrigued? That's an unusual thing.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I'll have to ask her. Well, maybe it's because she was a journalist in England, and she got to know some of the spooks from World War II, including some of the ones that one of them, that, if I remember it correctly, was the prototype for the fictional James Bond. So Creighton, I think, was his, the guy's last name. And so maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I'll have to ask her. She is, I mean, she knows probably more about Bormann than I know about Hitler's escape. And that's a bunch. But she is, without question, the world expert on Martin Bormann. So I'll be visiting her, a couple more of my friends down there, which shall go nameless until after I come back. And there's some things I need to see in Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I'm aware of some of this, and I always feel like you are, again, nudging into areas that a lot of people wouldn't dare go, but you're doing it. And somehow there must be some protection because you are doing things that just kind of shouldn't be done. And I don't know, maybe some people want the truth out there because that's what you bring back.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's just theory or baloney, then I don't deal with it. But if we find somebody with a theory, and if it seems like a good one, then we chase it down. And if we find that it indeed is fact, okay, then we publish it. But if it's not fact, then we leave it alone.
So, Amen. And that's, unfortunately, what is not the policy of most of these people. I don't care if they're writers, journalists, authors, film producers, archaeologists. They don't care. They're after the sensationalism of it because it leads to what? Fame and fame and fortune. Fortune.
Yeah, right.
Money. That's it.
I must have slept through that part of my economics class because, as you know, Nobody at Shark Hunters gets a salary or a bonus, and I'm driving a 30-year-old Chevy Suburban with 320,000 miles on it, and I'm waiting for that Lamborghini to pop up out front, and it hasn't showed up yet.
Well,
but then again,
see,
now I keep looking back at that Hunting Hitler goofiness on TV. And the guy that funded those people, I can't remember his name, but I, from some of my sources down there in Buenos Aires, I found out how Gordon Williams was living the good life, very expensive hotel, very expensive Brazilian friend.
A very expensive female. Brazilian friend.
Yes, female friend.
I kind of was going there, but I didn't want to speak it. All right.
Yeah, and eating big time. Me, I stay in a $45 a night hotel run by the Navy down there. And it's a very nice place, very beautiful place, but it's no $400, $500 a night place. And eat at the local restaurants where you can get a really nice asado dinner or something similar.
What did you call that? An asado?
I go right next door for pizza.
An asado dinner?
Yeah, asado. That's it's like a barbecue, but you don't want to say barbecue because it doesn't have any of the spices or anything. It's just the ribs cooked over an open wood fire. It's mighty tasty, but if you say barbecue, people immediately think of you know, barbecue sauce and all that, and it's just not. It's a whole different thing.
Huh, interesting.
And then they got something called an empanada, which is...
Now, I've heard of that before.
Right. The Argentine ones are kind of smaller, about 2 inches long, and it's a pastry with meat, beef, and maybe a little sauce inside, and they bake them like that, and they're just scrumptious, man. So, but the point I was making was the guy that was funding this whole farce expedition, he wound up, I saw this on, I got this from Lawrence DeMello, he wound up on the wrong side of a fraud indictment. I think he was from England, I'm not sure, but it was a Ponzi scheme, and suddenly he was a guest of the state.
Funniest
thing. With a striped shirt or whatever, you know, behind bars. And good. You know, you cheat somebody, you belong in jail.
You got a toilet with no seat. That's what you're trying to tell me.
I guess. I don't know. I've never been to prison. I'll bet I'd hate it.
Yeah, I've seen photos, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend who's passed on now, Manfred Roeder, who was considered the most right radical in all of Germany. The guy was like a Sunday school teacher, for God's sake. He was, you know, not a radical, not a lunatic, but he wound up in Mannheim prison, and every time you turn around, he was doing something to get himself thrown back in prison. I told him, you know, back off trying to confront the government face to face because they're bigger than you are. I don't care. I said, but then you go to prison. And he says, I don't care. And I said, well, you know, I get up sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. I go out to the kitchen and I have some cupcakes and milk. You can't do that. He says, no, I got a refrigerator in my cell. And then I said, well, yeah, but I got a library of books I can read. He says, yes, I can have as many books as I want to. And a television set in my cell. I said, holy cow, where's the deterrent there? One man to a cell, and it's almost like a mini apartment.
But yes.
And then I said, you can't just walk out the door and go for a walk in the woods. They don't allow that. So, but
Ernst,
here are a heck of a lot different.
Yes, Ernst Zundel was in prison for too many years, and he used to write to me regularly, and it is as you're describing. The prison system in Germany is, it's still prison, but it's enlightened. I mean, they're not, the prison system here is forced labor. They privatized it. Yeah. And that's when you hear Jeff Sessions. We've got to make sentences more firm, longer, tougher. That's more free labor for these bastards who are running these places. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not a secret.
Ernst Zundel. Zundel's been a member of Shark Hunter since 1989.
Yeah, he's a good man.
And I was on his radio show twice.
Yeah.
Long before he wound up on the wrong side of the immigration.
Well, he called himself the last prisoner of World War II, the last German prisoner of World War II. I remember that now.
Yeah. But he's out now. He's been out for quite some time.
Yeah.
And he's living over there at the old family area in Germany. Unfortunately, you know, he's married. His wife lives here in the United States.
Yeah, Ingrid.
Yeah, Ingrid. He can't come to her. And I don't think she wants to go to Germany because she might have a problem over there. They're getting a little touchy too, in Germany. They, you've been receiving our Hotmail mm-hmm. news releases.
Mm-hmm.
They're, finding ghosts underneath the sheets or whatever. They're finding so-called Nazi memorabilia in the
World War II relics, okay?
Yeah, right, in the army barracks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, according to, if I understand the law correctly, they can show World War II memorabilia if it's done in a historical context, which means rifles or helmets or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But hard and fast law against the swastika. You cannot show a swastika. But if you have, now I've some of the museums we visit when I go on my patrols or when I take tours over there, they have the swastika flag, but they have to have it folded in such a way to where only half of the swastika shows, then it's okay. But if the whole swastika shows...
How dare you? If you look at it, you'll go mad, of course.
Yeah, your brain melts.
No, immediately.
So we still have a couple of openings on our tour for South Germany, incidentally. So if any of your listeners would like to actually experience
that's
this
September?
History... September, right. Last week in September, first week in October.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to sharkhunters.com and click on tours, and the information is there. And we're seeing things this tour that we've never seen before. We've been invited into the Messerschmitt Foundation.
I can't. That's going to be... You better take your pen with you and,
yeah,
and record that. That's going to be a...
Yeah, they've got supposedly one each of every airplane Messerschmitt ever made.
Well, I think they ought to move their museum in one of their underground...
That's one monster big hangar.
Yeah, well, they should move it into an underground facility.
Oh, well...
That's where they used to make most of their stuff, you know. At the end of the war, if you ever look at the production stats, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see that the Germans somehow were making as many fighter planes as they were at any point during the war. They had no one to fly them, though. No fuel for them.
Yeah, they were running short of fuel.
Yeah, it was astonishing the amount of industrial output that they were. Never mind 4.5 years of homicidal, insane bombing by the Americans and Brits. They were still manufacturing as always. It was amazing. Back in a minute.
Huge
hold on.
Factories underground and last year we visited one. There's nothing in it anymore, but it's a gigantic hallway, maybe 20, 25 feet high and maybe 60, 70 feet wide. And they had machinery set up in there. And so we're going back there again. Plus there's another tunnel like this we're going to, which is, again, a huge, big underground railway. Because there's a train still in there. It does not have all the gold and Hitler's body.
Now, hold on, Harry. I got to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, because this is a very interesting topic for a lot of reasons. Back after this. talking about fangs. All right, onward. Now, where were we?
I don't know. I was going to ask you.
See? Doggone it. It must be those chemtrails.
I'm getting old.
Nah, you just started to tell me about something. It wasn't the trip. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we still have some spots open on our tour.
We're talking about underground Messerschmitt facilities. The facilities we want to talk about are those that they built for this train. Why did they have a train go into a mountain and stop? Or did it come out the other side in a tunnel and they just kind of blew up one end of it and made it a one-way entry? What do we know about it?
No, it was not a through tunnel. Most of these underground factories had a tunnel for a train coming in so that it could load or unload without being bombed. And then when it was done, it would head back out again the same way it came in. But it was not a through tunnel. Some were through. They had tunnels, of course, but that was just for regular movement of their trains. But in their underground factories, the train would just pull in. They'd unload it, they'd load it, and send it back out the way it came in.
Okay. What do we know about this?
Some of these factories,
yeah,
underground factories, there are hundreds of miles of them, you know, where a tunnel would go deep into the mountain and other tunnels would go off to the side, and it's incredible.
No, it was an astonishing achievement. Just amazing people. What do we know about this particular train? All I hear about basically is what you tell me. I haven't seen much written about it except these silly stories in the Daily Fail about the treasure train.
Fail. That's what the Brits call the Daily Mail.
What do we know about it?
Not much more than what I've told you. All I know is that it's just a supply train that went in and the war got over and then somebody tried to block it in there, and it's just, you know, Germany was surrendered, nothing was going on, and so I guess they just decided to leave the train there. Not a heck of a lot.
So, but all right, somebody must have blown the entry, so it was hidden all these years. But I mean, okay, let's assume that the train is still intact, dusty, whatever the cargo was, or if there was a cargo, is on it. It's still an amazing World War II archaeological discovery.
Yeah.
I want to know
all
more.
The time, finding new stuff.
Yeah. I want to know more. Anybody out there has anything that they can that's legitimate, send it along, please, to Harry or myself. Do you know where it is, supposedly?
Not for sure, absolutely. My contact down there is making the arrangements, and I think it's in the same area where we were last year. We were in one of the factory tunnels last year, and that is in Austria. I think it's close to Linz.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Austria was part of Gross Deutschland after the Anschluss.
Right.
Not the conquering of Austria, but I think 98.5% of the Austrians were voted for it. But now I'm told the Constitution of Austria forbids ever joining with Germany again. Whoopee.
Yeah, whoopee.
Incidentally, I'm already getting emails coming in. Your listeners can send me an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net.
sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Yeah, any information, send it right to the maestro here. We need this. This is good.
Yeah.
sharkhunters@earthlink.net.
That's correct. And let's see. Oh, I'm being told I got to talk about Argentina, Patagonia, about at least four presidents of the United States we know going down there to the area where Hitler lived after the war,
mm-hmm.
During their presidencies, Eisenhower, Carter, Clinton, and Obama. Obama was there just about a year ago.
Right.
And then John Kerry was there, I think, this past November.
Mm-hmm.
What the, you know, you got to wonder, what are these guys doing down there? Because it's a beautiful facility they go to. It's a place called Shao Shao.
Right.
I don't know how they get that pronunciation, but it's L-L-A-O-L-L-A-O, pronounced Shao Shao. It's a beautiful place. I'd love to stay there, but at $1,000 a night, I could afford about an hour's worth. We go there when we go on our Argentine tours for coffee and cake, and then we leave again. And one of these emails said, I should discuss our upcoming tour down there. Well, it's not set in stone yet, but we're looking pretty harsh at, or pretty firmly at going down to Argentina next February, because February is the height of summer down there. And beautiful, and like I say, you just really fall in love with that country down there. Buenos Aires is called the Paris of the South, and we visit there. We spend several days in Buenos Aires visiting various historic sites, including Recoleta Cemetery, where Evita is interred, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. There's somebody who's quite certain she never, her body never left Italy. Because when Peron was overthrown, her body was sent to Italy for safekeeping.
Uh-huh.
To a suburb of Milano. And then after Peron was back in power, allegedly, the body came back. But this researcher is quite confident that she is still in the cemetery in Milano. And he should find out pretty quick, because that cemetery, for whatever reason, has been condemned or sold or whatever, and they're moving the bodies each by each, and he knows where Evita was buried before,
mm-hmm.
and so he's just waiting until they start to open that up. I was there. The gentleman's name is Aldo Villagrossi, and I was there as guest of his city last year. They were so nice to me. I had reserved a spot in a cheap little bed and breakfast there in that town, and I got there, and he says, no, our mayor says you're a guest here, so they put me into the nicest hotel in town, and they picked up the tab for it. So they're very nice people there in Italy, and I think Aldo has a story there. There's so much we were told about World War II and its immediate aftermath that's just plain fiction. Hitler committed suicide in the bunker, that's baloney. Eva Braun committed suicide in the bunker, that's baloney. Martin Bormann got killed dead on a tank, we know that's phony.
Yeah, he's still living at Lawrence DeMello's house.
Say again?
Isn't he still living at Lawrence's?
Well, I don't know. I was down there last year for several days. I never saw him.
Mm.
All I saw was Lawrence, her son, her daughter, and her housekeeper cook.
That's right. I heard about that. We had pictures, and the food was superb. We saw lounging in a bathrobe. Because you had been injured,
a
dashiki. You had been injured because of you're a part-time painting contractor, and
it was just my stupidity. I was up on my roof trying to fix a shingle that had gotten loose, and the ladder just shot straight out from under me, and I dropped 8 feet. My head slammed down
incredible.
Right on the corner of my deck.
Yeah,
and I was unconscious. And my wife said I was babbling. She thought I turned into a Democrat. And
well, what you said about me was not true, first of all.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah.
3 days I was in the hospital. I don't remember any of it. And 4 days later, I was on a plane for South America. Lawrence was such a sweetheart. She took such good care of me. Gave me that dashiki so that I wouldn't roast. It was hot down there in February. and her cook, Maria. Now I remember Maria is a little short, chunky Italian lady who was actually Argentine, but Italian extraction. Mm-hmm. She took a liking to me, and Lauren said, hey, anything you want, Maria will cook it for you. And it was nice. Lawrence is a great hostess and just chock full of knowledge on.
Well, we want to find out what prompted her to go after the Borman legend. What was the mystique about Martin Borman?
Because
that's amazing what she's got in her head. All right. You'll find out.
Yeah. And we had a nice time. She gave me the guest house, two-story guest house, and there was a veranda between the main house and the guest house.
Nice.
And I'd be out there working away on my laptop in that dashiki. Your members or your listeners can see it, sharkhunters.com, and go to previous tours.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria would pop up and ask me if I wanted some tea or if I wanted breakfast or what did I want, and there's pictures of Lawrence and me working on our computers.
Nice.
Really nice. And it was relaxing. It was relaxing out in the country, and mm-hmm. she's got horses. So.
It sounds like you may not come home.
Well, I don't know how much it would cost to buy a place down there, but on the plus side, the Yankee dollar is strong.
Well, it's what is it?
2 to 1 to the dollar.
All right. Well, how's that? Let's say we had an Argentine dollar and a U.S. dollar. What's the diff?
Well, that takes 16 of the Argentine.
16. So you could go down there and buy yourself a hell of a nice place at 16 to 1 in your favor.
But unfortunately, their inflation right now is at 40%.
Oh my!
40% per annum. That's almost, well, maybe Jimmy Carter's running their government down there. I don't know.
He didn't get that close.
But he went down there to Xiao Xiao.
Wow.
During his presidency. But
yeah.
He probably thought he was going to Atlanta. You know, he wasn't the brightest bulb on the tree.
No, that's true. Interesting. Very interesting stuff.
And
now,
we're putting together a tour for next February, and I've already been in contact with my guide down there, Martine, who just incredible guide, knows how to find people and get doors open, and so we'll be.
He knows how to charge for his work too.
He do indeed. He's because of the inflation, it's gone from 150 a day to 200 Yankee dollars per day, plus expenses, of course. But you would expect that.
Wow.
But like I say, down there...
Yeah, but he opens doors, okay.
He opens doors.
He earns his money, that's no question.
When I was down there last year, we were in Uruguay, and we get out into the countryside, and we stayed in this really nice hotel, it would be about a 3-star, with breakfast. Our rooms... we had single rooms. I think it was like with breakfast. It was 10 Yankee dollars a night.
Hmm.
The one unsettling thing. They have 220 volt electric power down there.
Right.
The switch for the bathroom light was inside the shower. Yeah.
What?
it was inside the shower. I mentioned it to him, and he said, yeah, his room, too. He had the light switch inside the shower.
That's hard to believe.
No, it isn't. Not down there.
Huh. Well, all right. So the tour is going to Lawrence DeMello's ranch?
Highly unlikely.
Mm.
Well, it's 2 hours out of Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm. Well, does she have Borman artifacts? I don't want you to disclose anything that's touchy, but is she let's put it this way, is she a collector of sorts?
She's got a few, I saw a few items down there with swastikas on them, but...
They were folded over partway, weren't they? They were folded over, weren't they?
No, not a flag. One was a little round container about 3-4 inches across. Looks like the thing on my desk that I put paper clips in. But it was made out of bronze, and it had a swastika on the lid. And there's pictures of that on my website. So if she has a whole bunch of it, I never saw it, and she never mentioned it. She does have a ton of information, though, which is,
yeah,
you know, that's her.
Well, I wonder where she got it and all that. That's very interesting. Very interesting.
Probably she must have had some place I got our information, digging and digging and digging.
Yeah. We have some pictures up under guests at rents.com right now. If you go there and look up Harry, and
I couldn't find it. You must have just put them up.
The key word is photos. Well, you sent them this morning, and for some reason, James didn't put them up.
I was kind of slow on that.
No, you sent them 11 o'clock Eastern. That's plenty time. No problem.
Yeah, that's 8 o'clock your time.
That's right, 8:44.
Okay.
Okay,
on
photos.
My main page here.
Look for your name.
Jump back, Jack. There it is. Just like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you fooled me. It's all right.
Yeah, I know.
The books at the top, most importantly, the book that has been probably more plagiarized than any other book on what really happened to Adolf Hitler. Now, you've seen the recent photos, I think most all of you have you? I hope you have, of Hitler in 1947 at the Eden Hotel, sitting at a table. That's him. There's no question.
Eating with Walter and
the Eichhorns. There's no question it's him. None.
Yeah.
Zero. So, okay. My question is, American presidents going down there, I'm just wondering out loud here, if there might be some kind of a still existing treaty of some kind that has to be renewed every so often by a sitting American president.
You had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine 2 days ago, didn't you?
Yeah, but I didn't get that from there.
Okay, well...
No, that's my own thought, seriously.
You and I can talk off air.
Yeah, well, I felt this over a year ago, maybe two. Why would these presidents go down there? There's a reason.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, just a thought.
And also the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
But like I say, Carter probably thought he was going to Atlanta.
Well.
Bill and Hillary went down there. This was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
They visited with then Argentine President Nestor Kirchner and his wife, Christine, mm-hmm. who was 30 years ago was gorgeous. And we know Bill's...
proclivities.
Yeah, that's a good word.
How about
beautiful women?
Perversions.
I didn't say that.
All right, I did.
But there's, no, kidding aside, there is a reason, and I'll tell you when we're off.
All right.
Tomorrow or the next day.
All right.
I always point out that ranch house, that estate house there.
It's on the cover of the book. Look at it.
Yep. I took that picture myself in 2008. This is the place that the Hunting Hitler guys feel you have to sneak up on, dressed up like a Navy SEAL and swim in. We just beached our boat and walked up to the house.
Yeah.
And like I said before on your show, to the best of my knowledge, I'm the only guy that's got interior shots.
You got those, and those are crucial. I hope all of you do go to sharkhunters.com and look under...
Tours. Previous
and,
tours.
And look for the ones that allude to the Bariloche and Hitler's residence. Look at the pictures, the inside of that house. You're looking at history. I mean, he lived there with his wife for 10 years.
Yeah, and after they moved out, nobody has lived in the place since.
That's no accident, right?
No, and the place was built in the closing, during the war with Mercedes money. Supposedly as a recreational spot for Mercedes executives, because Mercedes is huge in South America, and they've got a huge plant in Buenos Aires, which is where Eichmann was working when he got grabbed. But nobody ever went there until Hitler moved in late 45, or late 45, because they had to wait till the winter left. And they were there 10 years, and they moved out. And nobody's lived there since. It's been for sale. And it was for sale for 40 million Yankee dollars. There's a lot more than just this estate house you see, because behind the trees there are many more guest houses. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of acreage. And we heard that it did sell last year for 23 million U.S. dollars to a very successful soybean farmer from Cordova province, and he was going to build a big fancy tourist hotel.
Yeah.
Now, whether he meant to tear down this estate and build it there or build it on the property next to it, we never found out, because to the best of my knowledge, the sale is still in limbo. Either he bought it and the Argentine government blocked it, or he was making an offer on it and the government blocked it, but we don't know what the status is, and we don't know why the government blocked it.
All right, stand by. We'll come back after the top of the hour. Another half an hour to go. This visit with Harry. At the bottom of the hour, Dr. Patricia Doyle is going to stop by, and we always have a great time with Patty before the big three horse races. She's going to give us her Preakness preview, among other things as well. So stay tuned for that as we continue right after this short intermission. Hope you're looking at the pictures. We're looking at certainly the book cover. And I really think that that picture of the home is an extraordinary statement in and of itself. It's a beautiful home. And what it symbolizes is the way the world runs. And the world doesn't run the way everybody's told. Here's another quickie along that line. Mad Dog Mattis today said, "War with North Korea would be tragic on an unbelievable scale." Well, he's not entirely dumb. They're going to nuke North Korea if they go to war. That's the only way they can even begin to try to neutralize its nuclear capability. Talking
as
about
long
nuclear.
As they don't
nuclear.
Get China involved. Sorry for the interruption, but if China gets involved, then we're in big trouble.
That's right. And China is not turning on North Korea like some of the Bolshevik press here wanted us to believe. No, China is not turning on North Korea. So, yeah, it would be tragic. The only way they can get to those underground facilities, and they've been going into underground facilities like the Germans did in the case of North Korea since the end of the Korean War, although it didn't really end. They're underground everywhere. They're moving Kim around like a ping pong ball to keep him safe. They're a mile down, I'll bet, in many places. So anyway, there's another one for you. But it's not just history, it's current events. They're all skewed and corrupted. We just don't get reality. So, you know, you get a piece of it here and a piece of it there, and people just don't understand how they're being controlled. They're just being taken for a ride. Anyway, that's the game. Now, back to the pictures here.
Yeah, these are the two books. We've got 20 books in print so far, but these two books are about Hitler's escape The first one, Hitler in Argentina, is boy, it's selling big time. And it's bestseller many times over.
Good for you. That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of personal satisfaction. But like I say, I don't get any of the money for it. It helps keep shark hunters going, pays the expenses. Hitler and the Secret Alliance, this is the one that explains how Hitler could escape to South America, starting over about 110 years ago, explaining how all the people came from Germany and Italy, primarily. 80 or 90% of Argentinians are from Western European stock. So those two books, plus the next one that's coming out in about 6 or 8 months, mm-hmm. nails it down. Well, you've known me for 3 years. I don't publish anything that's a theory. When I publish something that says Hitler lived in South America, the proof is all in that book. Mm-hmm. And I'm making this point because another one of the emails I got says none of the people I know believe that Hitler got away. They all think he committed suicide. So, well, okay, buy the book. And it explains
the question is, have you read the book?
Yeah, that's it.
That's all. That's it. 99% haven't.
Right.
But they know the truth, so they don't have to waste their time, right?
Yeah, right, because they're spoon-fed. The people that this emailer is dealing with, I'm sure, are very decent, honest
people. They've just been conned.
Right.
It's not their fault.
This outfit, there's a website called Axis History Forum, and we refer to them now as Asses History Forum because they not only poo-poo the fact that Hitler and Eva Braun did get to South right. America, they attack anybody who emails in a contra opinion, and they're the ones who are publishing that I'm a Nazi and I wear a swastika ring. And yeah, I know, I'm laughing about it too. And like I replied to our member who saw this, in this country, if I want to be a Nazi, I can be, but I'm a Republican, lifelong Republican. And if I want to wear a swastika ring, I can, but I don't even own a swastika ring. So he told them that, and then they attacked him. Mm. So, you know, people like that are Untermensch. But, yeah, read the book. It's not theory. It's hardcore fact. The FBI knew it, and we've got hundreds of FBI files right. here, and there are several of them reprinted in the book. Just, you know, and Hitler and the Secret Alliance goes into more than just Hitler. Mm-hmm. It goes into dozens of the people who lived down there. We photographed, and it's in the book, some of the homes where Mengele was, some right. of the homes where some of the other guys, and we give the addresses. We show photos of the house and the addresses.
Well,
so it's no guesswork. It's no theory.
It's called journalism, what it
yeah.
is.
They don't do that much anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
So, but these books are available, and I'll tell you what, since I'm in a good mood and I'm half punchy because it's past my bedtime, normally to non-members, these books are $25 a piece, but if your listeners want to order these books, you have to do it through our office, though, because our website is not keyed up for it. We'll make it $20 each book, and $7 shipping in the United States will cover both books, not each. So for
great.
$47, you get both of these
books. And these books really will give you an insight into not just the history of our Western world, but the amount of lying that you've been duped with your whole life. That's what's going to shock you.
Yeah, unfortunately, history becomes a great work of fiction.
Yeah.
And as I look into it, you know, first off, as we know, the winners write the history. But then the winners also define what was a war crime. After the war is over, then they go back and say, well, this is a war crime and that's a war crime. And then in some countries, Europe, for instance, you cannot publish anything that's positive toward the Third Reich or Hitler. It's a criminal offense. And in this country, you just get attacked by the Ass's History Forum or the Spitlickers. So, you know, fortunately, I'm an old guy and I don't have a job, so they can't get me fired. but a younger person, I know several people who are who have jobs. Mm-hmm. One of our members, a lady who's in her late 30s, her husband got fired from his job because they said his wife is a neo-Nazi just because she studies this. Yeah. So, you know, they attack you any way they can.
Yeah, well,
I'm so broke, what can they do? I'm driving a 30-year-old truck and living on my Social Security.
I have a 20-year-old car truck.
Yeah, but you keep wrecking them all the time.
No, I'm over that. It was my fault anyway. All right, now the next picture shows Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. It's an interesting little confluence there.
Yeah, we'll brush over these fairly quickly because I want to explain the other ones. On picture number 3, if you draw a line straight down from the number 3 and straight off to the left from where it says sharkhunters.com, that little finger sticking up, that's Argentina. That's what they call the TBA, tri-border area. And that's where this so-called Hitler's home ruins was found by the hunting Hitler clowns. And it was not Hitler's home. It was just, and it's only the ruins, but it was a safe house because after Perón got knocked out of power, a lot of people had to leave Argentina. So from this house, which is on a little bit of a hill, you could look to the west, straight across the river, and there was Paraguay, not a mile away. Or to the east, Brazil was very close. So they could go either way and escape. And it was heavy, dense jungle in those days. Looking down at number 4, this is where Bolivia, Brazil, and Paraguay come together. And this is some stuff I need to take a look at when I'm up there, down there, I'm sorry, that I can't go into too much detail right now, but there's an area right up just a little above the WWW part that did have significance back in the day, and it's kind of walled off now. There's another place a little south, about where the Y is in Paraguay, called Waldner 555. It was one of these German enclaves that was set up by the SS after the war was over. And Waldner, I guess, was the architect who laid it out, and 555 was used in the name because I believe that was Bormann's NSDAP membership number. But it's since...
Well, Lawrence will know that.
Oh, you betcha. It's been abandoned, but, you know, there's got to be something there, so I'm going with my camera and see what we can come up with. The reason I put the rest of these photos in there, like I say, we still got a couple spots open on our September southern tour to Bavaria and Austria, which your listeners can see at sharkhunters.com, and then click on tours. Just some of the things, and this is just a few photos covering two intensive weeks. We go past in photo 5. Oops, somebody just sent me another one. Doggone, another email from your people. Let's see. Okay, Argentine president came here. Okay. Anyhow, right below where it says number 5 on that picture, that was where Hitler shared an apartment with his niece, Geli Raubo, and that's where she committed suicide or was clipped, whichever story you believe.
What year would that have been approximately?
In the early part of his political stuff. I don't know. There are others who know when Gilly Rowe died.
Late 20s, early 30s. All right.
Maybe mid-30s. I don't know. But
surprised
anyhow.
They haven't torn that building down yet. I'm just looking at it. I'm starting to feel a little woozy.
It's a beautiful building, and you can't go into it because it's a police station. The police own the whole building, I'm
no,
told.
Too funny.
It would be nice to be able to go in and take pictures, but
No.
All right. Next number.
Number six. Number six.
Feldherrnhalle. And just to the left of this picture, just out of frame, that is the road where Hitler and his followers came during that 1923 beer hall putsch.
Mm-hmm.
On the 9th of November, 9th of November, which is my son's birthday also, and that's when they marched up into the face of a machine gun. Well, you got to applaud their dedication, but not their smarts, because I don't believe I'd be marching up to a machine gun.
No.
And 23 of them, I think it was, or some number like that, were killed. Goering got shot again in the Gananis, which is why he got so fat. He became a eunuch the hard way.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he had gotten shot in the Gananis, too, during the war.
Huh.
World War One.
Well, he was an aviator, though.
Yeah, he was an ace. He was head of the squadron that right. Red Baron belonged right. to after von Richthofen got shot down. So we go there, and then we get down into Bavaria.
Number seven,
yes, sir. That is the Hotel Stadaltena. No, I'm sorry, check that. Jesus.
That's a Hotel Cooper. I know that place.
Yeah. After Zumturken.
What happened there?
That was the switchboard for all the Third Reich places up on top of the mountain here. This is on the Obersalzberg.
Uh-huh.
And Hitler's personal guard stayed in that hotel when he was on the mountain.
Oh, is that up above in the background? I don't mean to interrupt here, but is that...
Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's a new hotel.
That's the new hotel.
Yeah, built right on Goering's property, right on Goering Hill. But Jess, who took this photo, Jess has been a member of Shark Hunters for quite a while. He was with us on that particular tour. He's standing right on the driveway to what had been Hitler's home, the Berghof.
That's the driveway picture. To the Berghof.
That is
behind him. Behind him and to the right. Okay.
Right, but there's nothing left of the Berghof now because as soon as the U.S. Army gave the whole area back to the Bavarian government, boy, tear it down quick.
So this hotel that you're looking at, to the right of the picture is where Hitler's home was, the Berghof was located, probably 150 yards, not that far, 200 yards.
I don't think it was even 200 yards. I think it was less than 150, but anyhow.
Yeah, you can see pictures. I've got pictures up on the site. Remember those pictures I sent you? There were a bunch of new ones of the Berghof. Interesting. So that's the hotel that was next to it back then.
Right.
Understand. That's an old building.
The hotel's been there for a few hundred years.
Yeah.
And down underneath the hotel, there's the most well-preserved series of tunnels and bunkers, and we go in them. Not crawl on your belly in the dirt thing, but big hallways. The engineering was incredible.
Right.
So we go in there, and we look at number 8. We know what that is. That's the stadium at Zeppelinfeld. We go there, and
that's where you give your speeches there, isn't it?
Well, you can speak all you want, but you don't dare put your right arm up in the air because there's police there.
Put
your right arm up in the air.
Just for fun, to get a little selfie or a snapshot, you're going to get in trouble. That's
right. If you got your right arm in the air, you'll be leaving Germany real fast.
Unreal.
Your passport will be coded that you don't come back in again. Plus, it'll cost you about 3,000 Yankee dollars. Now, so many people have seen this stadium, and they never look past the obvious. What's inside? What's inside? Well, look down to number nine. That's the what they call the golden room. And you come into that from the back of the stadium. And there's a train station right behind there, which is no longer a train station. It's a very nice restaurant. We have lunch there. But that's where Hitler would get off the train and walk across the back parking lot and come in there. And they had receptions in there. And if you look closely, you'll find the golden swastikas are still embedded in the ceiling.
Oh, my eyes. Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
And so we go there. There's one of those signs that says shark hunters are welcome. It says Ein Gang Verboten, which means shark hunters are welcome here.
Right.
And we go up the stairs into the offices that Hitler used. There's nothing in them now. No tables, chairs, not a door, not a nothing. Just an empty room. And so we take our pictures there. It's pure history.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a lot of time touring in Nuremberg because that's where so much of this history was. And we also tour Munich. And then the high point, look at number 10. This is the high point of our time down there, which is why the Spitlerkers attack us. On the first Sunday of October every year, up on this mountain down in southern Austria, they have a memorial service to everyone who fell in battle. No matter what flag flew over them, no matter what outfit they were in, if they fell in battle, they are remembered. And so we go there, and most of the old veterans you see there are from the 5th Waffen-SS. And so, of course, the Spitlickers are screaming that we're all Nazis because we hang out with the SS. Well, we have dinner with them, hundreds of these wonderful old veterans. And any American combat troops I know who fought against the Waffen-SS have told me that these were the toughest opponents they ever fought because they just didn't know how to quit.
Yeah.
So if your listeners go to sharkhunters.com, then go to previous tours, they'll see all.
There's such a treasury of you can take tours with Harry and see all these places. It's just it's remarkable.
Yeah. And we got another email that says the terms and dates of the presidents that and Eisenhower served from 53 to 61. He was there. Carter served from 77 to 81. He was there. Clinton from 93 to 01. He was there. Obama from 2009 to 17. He was there just last year. And
interesting spread on the years there. Like every 20 years, somebody has to go.
Comparison, yeah. Roger, who sent this in, says that he thinks that if the U.S. was signatory to some kind of treaty of some kind, a U.S. president was required to be physically president, or physically present, and that it was renewed or extended at Shao Shao in Bariloche. That's a good theory, but that's
just a
That's
theory.
All it is right now is a theory. And, of course, Roger says, what was the purpose of this hypothetical treaty? And, again, we have our theories, but unless
I think Roger's been listening to our programs, he would understand.
Roger's a member of Shark Hunters.
Sure, he knows. That's a rhetorical question, I think.
I think he's trying to extract me to talk about it some more. And I would if I knew hardcore fact, but I don't, so...
Right.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. About every 20 years, you spotted it, and Roger said the same thing in his email about every 20 years. Very interesting.
Yes, indeed.
If you're old enough to remember Artie Johnson on Laugh-In.
Yeah. Well,
interesting.
It's one of the last times you have ever seen a German comedy skit. World War II.
Here in Hillbilly Heaven, Florida, we get it on. There's a channel that runs all the old stuff, and we get to see Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In late at night.
Yeah, there's one channel, and I think it. I don't know. It plays Johnny Carson programs.
I've seen that one too.
I saw that one, and it looked like he just recorded it today.
Well, they can enhance these things, and
Whatever they
really
did,
nice,
it was talk about time travel.
Yeah.
And we were kids.
Let me throw in this last little bit. You know, if your listeners want to take advantage of the book, two books for and shipping both together, that's $47 total. They have to either call us at 352-637.
All right, they got to get their pencils. Hold on.
Okay.
Can they email?
The email is sharkhunters.
At earthlink.net. Just email. Don't worry about the
just
phone
email
number.
Yeah. Send an email, and we'll guide you through it. You can charge it Visa or MasterCard.
Great.
And $47, and you get both books.
You get history. You get the truth.
In the United States, it's $15 out of the U.S.
Right.
We don't control the postage. Uncle Sam does that.
Sharkhunters at earthlink.net. Harry,
right.
You take care. Talk soon. Thanks for everything.
My pleasure, my friend, and we'll talk about some of the other things in a day or two.
Okay, very good.
All
good
right.
Night.
Watch the Preakness.
Oh, yes, we will. Take care.
Bye-bye, guys.
All right. Harry Cooper, and we'll be right back with Dr. Patty Doyle for her Preakness preview coming up next.